We are in the second week of a short two-part series that we are calling Adopted, focusing on both the inward and the outward response that we should have when we truly realize our position in Christ as adopted sons and daughters of the King of Kings, as heirs of God alongside Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. The idea for this series was born out of the work we have been doing with orphans and in poverty-stricken areas in Monterrey, Mexico, in partnership with a ministry called Back to Back. And the video that you saw there was from a group of ours that went down a couple of years ago, and you may recognize some people or yourself in there. The response that I got from last week has been exactly what I expected from this community. Very encouraging and powerful, very much of this feel of how can we help? I want to do something. How can I get involved in some way with this thing? It's one of the things I love about being part of Riverview. I've had people call and email and write on their tear off that they want to go on one of these Mexico trips, or they want to donate toys or supplies or money to the orphans or to the folks who live in the Rios that we work with down there. I've been offered 3 washing machines. It's a very appropriate reaction considering what we talked about last week in Ephesians chapter 1. The verse right before the section that we looked at last week, Ephesians 1:3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every spiritual blessing we have in Christ. And we walked through the description that Paul gave in his letter to the Christ followers in Ephesus, one after the other, what those blessings are. Our position in Christ, it's just an unbelievable thing, the privilege we have, the inheritance that we have received and is coming in our direction, which leads to this inward response of thankfulness. Like we talked about last week, the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 for the Christ followers there, that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, that they would know the hope and the riches and the immeasurable greatness of God's power towards those who believe. And then when our hearts are stirred, the natural expression becomes this, I want to do something. It just begins to spill out into action. And that's our response, our discussion for today, the challenge to go. What does it mean for us? What does it look like for us to live on mission as Christ followers? One of the most commonly asked questions that I get about the Mexico trips is, what do you do? I mean, what do we do on those trips? And I wanted to paint a picture of maybe what a kind of a typical day has looked like on the trips that I've been on. Once we get on our flight, sometimes it's a direct flight from Detroit right into Monterrey. Sometimes it's a stopover in Texas. But we get there and we get on. There's an airport there in Monterrey that you get off the plane and then you get on a bus and they take you to the back-to-back campus, which you see pictures of there. On the way in, by the way, I wanted to make one thing clear. Last week, most of the pictures that we showed were of the depressed areas in Monterrey, but I also mentioned that there's a huge gap between the wealthy and the poor in that city, and Monterrey in most ways is a very first world city. As we make that drive from the airport through the city before we get to this campus, you see a very modern, very affluent, the wealth in that city. You can go to Starbucks and Home Depot, and it feels very much like cities that we've been around. And then as you move into the surrounding areas in different parts, you begin to feel that gap, that division between wealthy and poor there. But it has both. And you arrive at the property here that Back to Back has, which is just an incredible place. And that becomes your base camp for the week. And here's a day on our trip, depending on the day, but it kind of looks like this. You do breakfast. You do all meals together as a group. There's people on your team that are assigned to be preparing and setting everything up. And you share that breakfast meal together first thing in the morning. And then after that, there's an hour set aside for each individual to be on their own in some time of reflection. and studying God's word and journaling. And there's some questions that they'll give you. There's some stuff you can do on your own, praying and that kind of a thing. And then you're in some small groups of four or five people discussing. Typically, there's a theme for the week. This year, our theme was hunger. We talked about spiritual hunger versus physical hunger and looked at the scripture and wrestled with what was going on in our lives and our hearts as a result of the experiences that we were having. All of that is the morning time before we ever go off and work. And the work day is then 8 consecutive hours out in one of the children's homes or in one of the Rios. And there's really 3 kinds of work things that we do. We do stuff that's like improving the facilities, projects that they give us for that. You don't have to have a skill set. In fact, I am evidence of that I can't really do much in terms of, work, but I can make a contribution. Everybody that goes, and if you do have a trade or something that you're an expert in, all the better. That's one of the kinds of things that we do. We also prepare and serve food to kids, to folks who live in the Rios. And then the third thing that we do is we play. We play with kids a lot. In fact, I was telling you last week, and I referenced the washing machines. Myself and Garrett, we spent 3 or 4 hours in this little tiny room together working. And after we finished, this is a picture. The door to that room is right behind where I'm standing there. That's me. There was 4 kids in that alleyway playing soccer. And at the end of the alleyway, there's this big metal gate, and that was the goal. And for an hour, I played soccer. These guys just torched me. In fact, in that picture, that he's getting ready to run me into that pole and then go around and score, which he did a lot, actually. But that's kind of the work day. As the sun is going down, you're back at the base camp. There is an amazing Mexican woman who makes dinner for the whole group, and you share that meal again together. You shower up, clean up from the day, and then there's a big group meeting that's kind of a debrief, depending on the size of your group. Our group was 20, our group this summer is 75, and the whole group talks about best memories from the day and begins to process the experiences that you have. And then there's some downtime at the end of the night where you can play some games and talk and hang out and play some basketball like we did there. And our group had one night a very intense euchre tournament that was all. And so it just depends on your group. And that's the day. Very simple, but very transformational. At the end of the week, without even asking these questions, I had compiled this list of things that people had said to me, just kind of off the cuff, like just statements that people made that as we were going through day by day, just repeating that same rhythm. People said stuff, like, I want to continue this practice of having an hour a day in the morning. I've never done that before, to prepare myself mentally, spiritually, emotionally. That's really been a blessing for me. People say, I really need to share more meals with my family, with my roommates together. We never do that. Or I want to share the gospel with my mom or my dad or my sister or my coworker or my neighbor. I want to give more. I want to be involved with supporting kids here financially or ministries back home. I want to get involved. I want to help. I want to change this. I want to quit doing that. I want to start over here. I want to continue. I want to stop that. I want to add. I want to grow. I want to serve. It was just this. I was been asking myself this. Okay, what is it about this experience, this trip, that's so powerful for those who participate, that they just develop this fire that explodes into action, that spills out into day-to-day life? If you have your Bible, open with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and if you don't have your Bible, we'll put the verses up on the screen as well. Now, Acts chapter 2 may be triggering in your mind. A couple weeks ago, the sermon that Noel gave included his rendition of Peter's sermon that is found in Acts chapter 2. In fact, most of the second chapter of Acts is that sermon that Peter gave that's recorded there. And at the end of the sermon, in verse 37, the question that is asked is, what shall we do? Which is essentially our question that we're looking at this morning. What is it that we should do? And Peter says, okay, first, repent. and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. 3,000 people that day were baptized in one day. If the story ended right there, I mean, that by itself would be an amazing thing. But it continues on. That's not the only thing that they did. There's more. In that moment, as their insides, they were just churning with excitement, ready to do something. What's found next in this text is a brief and clear description of the steps the early Christ followers took to spread the gospel to their community and then to the next community around them, and then to their entire nation, and then to the next nation, and then to the entire world as they knew it in their day. And so there's six little verses here, beginning with verse 42. There's more than six steps, but there's these six verses, and we're just going to go through one by one those six verses, and I'm going to read them and then make a couple comments on each one, and we'll go through it that way. Starting with Acts 2, 42. It says, and they, talking about these Christ followers here, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Devoted means to concentrate, or to devote means to concentrate on a particular purpose or pursuit or cause. It's a little bit like thankful in the sense that it has this focus, this setting your mind on, this being intentional about thinking about something. They focused, and they said four things there, on God's word, the study of God's word, on being together, sharing meals, or it could be communion, or both there when it talks about breaking of bread, and prayers. Pretty much a standard day on one of our Mexico trips. And a question that you could ask yourself of is, are each of these four things, very basic, simple things, are they really a part of my life on a daily basis, on a regular basis? Which ones am I feel like they're stronger in my life? Which ones are maybe missing in some way of those four? Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Now, the word awe there in the Greek is phobos, which is where we get our word phobia. The meaning here is this really good kind of terrified. It's like awe, like ah, as opposed to like ah, you know what I mean? It's awesome reverence. Their hearts were connected to God, that God is just unbelievable. I mean, there's this sense of just something inside, and they're just amazed at who God is and what he had done in their lives. Through this process of devotion, something was changing. God was changing, and immediately you see it spilling out into action. God began to do miraculous things through this group of people. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And that little expression that they were together is such a simple phrase, but it's so powerful. This idea of being on mission takes a time commitment. When it comes to mission, inconvenience is normal. Being together is part of it. They were together. I'm not saying they isolated themselves. It's not like they got together and they stayed over here and the people who weren't in their camp in as Christ followers. No, they lived together. They did their lives consistently together right in the middle of the community. They were being watched. They were participating in the life of community in a very, very distinct and powerful way. They were together. They needed each other in order to avoid forgetting their mission or avoid drifting back into their old life of sin. They were together. Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They became exceedingly generous. Again, it's this spilling out. Later on, and it says that their hearts were glad and generous. It wasn't forced. It wasn't under compulsion. It just kind of exploded out of them. And it wasn't just with each other, with any who had need in the surrounding community, whether they be Christ followers or not. We are going to be, when I see a need, we're going to figure out, how can we meet that need? How can we be generous towards these folks? I've referenced the story from last week a couple times already. We had three people that came up to me after one of the services and says, I want to give a washing machine to Imperio de Amor, the orphanage that you talked about. How do I do that? And the thing is that we can't do that. Delta doesn't, put a tag on a washing machine and ship it, bring it to Monterey. That's not something that's part of what we can do. But each person that said that to me, I asked them, would it be okay if we found another place? If you really want to give your washing machine away, maybe we don't have to be connected with such an obvious need like we saw with Imperio de Amor, this orphanage in Monterey, to have there be a need for a washing machine. And maybe there's a need right here in this community or in the area that we are. Maybe we know of a great organization that or an individual who's been praying and struggling to figure out, maybe we can make the transfer right here. Because in order to be generous, we need someone to say, hey, I have something that I want to offer. Maybe somebody else needs. And we also need people to say, hey, I have something that I need that maybe somebody else has to offer. So if you need or know of a need for a washing machine, we have three. Let me know. We'll make the connection. Verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, I love the fact that part of the description here in the text of what it means to spread the gospel and to be on mission involves eating. Because I love eating. In fact, I love this verse here, receiving their food with glad and generous hearts. When there's good food and that's involved with the whole thing, all the better. I mean, food is fantastic. And when you get a group of people together, you guys maybe have done this before and you're like, okay, we're going to get the grill fire and you're going to bring this and you're going to bring that. And we're just going to get all these people together and we're going to have a great time. And maybe we'll invite some people that haven't been part of our community before. Maybe we'll just, and sure, let's bring, if you guys have been part of stuff like that, those are just rich, rich experiences. And that's what they're talking about here. These folks figured out a way to share time together, oftentimes around meals, oftentimes including people from the community. And their hearts were just filled with gladness and generosity. They were going to church together. They were worshiping together. You get this feeling of together that was happening. And then verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And here's what's going on here. As they were living this distinct life where they were loving one another, they were living sacrificially, they were being generous together, they were being watched by people who did not yet know Jesus, and their reputation as loving and as unique in some way began to make an impression. They had favor, it says, with all the people. And in the process, people were coming into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ every single day. That's the mission. It's a common purpose, a specific task for a group to pursue. And theirs was, we are so blessed, we're so thankful, we're in such awe that we're going to devote ourselves to God's word, to praying, and to each other in such a fervent way that the people around us are just going to be drawn in. It doesn't say that they held events. It doesn't say that they had that was all they did. And it was just captivating to the community to the point where people were being pulled into their own faith in Christ. And that's really the application step for us to think about this morning. It's just this idea of go. Do something. Start somewhere. Now, when I say go, do I mean go to Mexico? Absolutely. I think we've talked unapologetically in this community about how one of the things that's a goal of ours is that every member of our community would participate in one of these trips. Our vision for this thing is beginning to grow. It's becoming so exciting. There is a partnership developing with Riverview and Back to Back to move our ministry focus to another part of Mexico, down to Mazatlan, where we have a relationship down there through some folks that are connected with Riverview. And there's an orphanage down there called Rancho de los Niños. And this is an orphanage that works exclusively with special needs kids. Which is, again, a population. Orphans with special needs, they don't have anywhere to go oftentimes. Because the children's homes, they can't maybe meet the unique needs that kids. And so Rancho de los Niños has started this effort. And there's other children's homes in Mazatlan that have no support system that we are thinking that maybe we can, in partnership with back. I mean, there isn't something that's just blowing up here that God is doing through us, through our partnership with Back to Back. We'd love for you to go. In fact, I've had a bunch of people ask me questions. How do I get involved with this thing? Two steps you could take. One is there's information on the tear-off that you were given about how to move forward. Secondly, Dan Price, who oversees our Mexico stuff here, and Denny Duchesne, who's working with him on that, they are going to do a Q&A after the 11:30 service in room 204, which is the first classroom right down here. You may want to jump in on that and ask questions. When's the next trip, and how do I get involved, and what does it all look like? But those trips are awesome because they serve as a catalyst for many of the things that we're talking about here, things that you already desire in your life. A community of faith that's on mission, seeing God at work, being challenged, being stretched in your faith. But here's the deal. You know, a few people in our community will go on one of these trips to Mexico and they won't come back. I mean that in a good way. I mean, they'll stay there because this will become their mission. We won't lose them or anything while we're down there, okay? This will be the way God uses their life. But most of us will be down there for a week if we go, and then we'll be back. And we need to learn to apply these Acts 2 principles here in our context. What does it look like here for us to go, for us to live this mission? I want you to take a look at this. It's a short video clip from some good friends of mine, Jason and Beth Hellman, who went on the March 2010 trip with me. So they've been back about 14 months. And just to watch kind of how their story has unfolded in the process.
Originally, when we heard about the trip to Mexico, to be honest, we were struggling with a battle of infertility and had been for a couple of years, and it had really been a struggle, especially for me emotionally. And when I heard about the mission trip, it seemed like a very good opportunity to kind of get my mind off of it and distract myself from what we were going through.
I was struggling with the concept because I had never done anything with a church, doing an event like that, and I was almost struggling with the spiritual part of it because I'd never experienced that before. And it really struck home for me to realize that when we're in an environment like this, that we look at as extreme poverty and depression, to find so much happiness. And that's kind of where I realized how God was working and how this community was being able to kept together by that one reason, and that was Christ. And I was fortunate enough to be baptized in that church that we were helping with. And we did it with my Nalgene bottle in the back of the church. And immediately after that, my life changed. Just everything I looked at, the way I felt about things, you know, our life as Christians.
Amazing experience, and it just put everything into perspective that no matter what personal struggles you might be dealing with, that, you know, God is so much more powerful than that.
realized that when we were there that a lot of these things we could be bringing home. The experience that we have, the feelings that we have, the drive to do better in our own community, to help, was something that we brought home with us.
The way I started was by bringing in some muffins to Sunday Snacks one night. I now am coordinating the drives that we have for different organizations in the community, and have really enjoyed just building the relationships with people while I do that, and also just that experience of actually doing something and just taking that step to actually do it.
And then the big project that I'm starting to work with now is with another church in Lansing that Riverview has partnered with, Barefoot. There's kids in our neighborhoods that need our support, need our love, and I am now able to serve them.
Such an opportunity when you get involved serving to actually not only to serve, but also to just build those relationships with people, and that has been a very crucial part, I think, of our spiritual growth. I think just seeing the poverty there, that has hit home for us. We've been challenged to give more financially to back-to-back, and just to be more generous in our lifestyle and more sacrificial with our time and our finances.
We used an acronym while we were there, and it was up all over the walls and back-to-back, and it was SWAP, and what it stood for was to sacrifice with a purpose. And that I brought that home with me for sure, and I think about that all the time, and it just reminds me to do more, you know, sacrifice with a purpose, not just... Don't just do something because it makes you feel good. Do it because there's a purpose behind it.
There is so much to love about their story. They are now ministry leaders here, and they were peripherally involved before they ended up going on that trip. And it started small. Make some muffins. It's where she started. Give five is the thing we've been talking about with the RIV kids. A lot of people have told me, I started by giving five, and now I've been drawn in my whole life. I'm connected with this group of kids in a unique way. Get on a team. Remember, we are surrounded by spiritual orphans all day long. That's our reality. The mission has not changed. We need to go. We need to do something, and we need to start somewhere. And there's as many specific applications for this as there are people in this room. If you're new, maybe you just need to wait a little bit and figure this thing out, and that's okay. We're not, you know, we're talking to people maybe have been around for a little while. Maybe your going really involves just everything in your life changes. That could happen. Your vocation, the geography where you live, your whole direction of your life, that we've seen that. It could mean that nothing about your life really changes except for all of the environments that you're involved with right now. You go in to the same places, but with a completely different mindset. You see your workplace or your neighborhood or the guys you play ball with on a regular basis or your family in a missional way. Maybe it's just a reminder, a refresher. I'm looking around this room. I see a lot of people who have been living this way for a long time. Keep going. Continue. And remember what it is that's our purpose, our focus, bringing the gospel. And if you do this, here's a warning / promise. You will not remain unchanged. Going always includes transformation. I've been thinking about this passage in James chapter 1, which is a passage that you'll find used a lot in groups that work with orphans. It says in James 1:27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." And I've been thinking about that a lot. It's like these two different things, visiting orphans and widows in their affliction, which is the ministry of back-to-back. That's what we've been doing. And what does it have to do with keeping oneself unstained from the world? And I've been thinking a lot about all the different conversations I have with people during those trips and afterwards of that question and that tug on your heart that I just want to pursue holiness more. after being in this environment, it's just moving me in a direction of not wanting to be as swayed and stained and affected by the push and pull of our culture. It's just part of the experience. When you're on mission, you'll be driven toward a life of holiness. You won't become perfect, but that's the pull that will happen. You'll need to pray. You'll desire wisdom from God's word. You'll form bonds with people that are on your team because you'll need to. And that's all the more reason for us to go, to do something, to start somewhere. You were given a white card when you came in today. Pull that out if you've got it. Everybody pull out your white card. And there's pens in the seats in front of you. If you're in the darker areas, they're in the shadows there. They're there. Don't worry. Write down your step. Something has come into your mind this morning. Make it specific. Show it to somebody. By Monday at noon, I am going to make this phone call and I'm going to initiate this thing, or I'm going to start doing this, or I'm going to stop here. Whatever the step is that has been kind of bouncing around in your head, put it down on this card. Carry it with you. We did this at the end of our trip in March, and then 3 weeks later, our whole group got back together to eat meals with gladness and generosity in our hearts together. And at the end of that, we just got that list out, and we went around the room and said, how's it going? And we were just blown away in 3 weeks at what God had already done and how we had taken this step and then realized, oh, well, God wants us to go here, but we're moving. And so he's moving us in the direction that he wants us to go. And I want to finish with one more story for you. As you can imagine, we talked about this stuff a lot, especially on our last day of our trip. When you get back into the United States after having been in an environment like that, just when you get to the airport, I mean, airports are scary places anyway, for me at least. There's this sort of terrifying selfishness that is happening all around you, and you're just trying to survive this experience. And America just overwhelms you. And we talked about you're going to be hit with that, and you're going to be asked the question, how was your trip? And what are you going to say? And we kind of had some dialogue along those lines. And so we flew from Monterey back into Dallas. And we got on our plane in Dallas, and the plane was completely full, several hundred people, and every single seat on the plane was full. And right before we left, the flight attendant got on the plane, and she said, hey, we need to do this quick, but we have a member of our armed forces who is outside wanting to get on this flight. He has been in the airport here in Dallas our flight was leaving on Friday night. He had been there since Thursday morning trying to find a flight back to Michigan. Hadn't seen his family in a long time. Would anybody on this plane be willing? He has $100 to offer. Would anybody be willing to switch places with him and wait overnight here in Dallas and then take, he has a ticket booked for the morning flight that's leaving. You know, and it's one of those things on the plane where it's like crickets, you know, and everybody's like, no, I do not want to do that, you know. And our group was sitting all together in the middle of this group, and we all started talking. Maybe this is an opportunity for us to get involved, to serve, to help somebody out and to be sacrificial. And we're all kind of, you know, and figuring out. And she said, it has to happen quick. And so we're trying to figure it out. And I'm looking at the guys and going, well, maybe I should go. I'm the trip leader and you know, you guys, and maybe we were talking about it. And finally I just said, okay, I'll do it. And a couple of people on our trip said, okay, we'll take care of everything. And so the flight attendant started walking back down the aisle towards us, you know, and immediately when I stood up to move towards the door, I started thinking, okay, I'm the one who has the keys to the church. And I also have the information about how we're going to connect with the bus driver in Detroit, and I have the money to pay him. And I also am in charge of this whole group of 18 to 22-year-olds, and I'm not sure if this is a good idea. Oh, yeah, my wife is out of town, and so I have three kids at home, and I'm supposed to be there. And The other thing is, I'm old, and I'm not sure how the floor of this airport is going to feel to me overnight, and I don't like that idea. And it's just the whole thing that you go through where you're like, all the inconveniences of doing something sacrificial are just flooding into my mind. And so I'm trying to work this out, like, okay, here's the money for the bus driver, and the phone number, you need that to connect and everything. And we're figuring this thing out, and it's got to go quick. And then what happened was, one of the other guys on our trip, Drew, who is 20 and who likes the movable walkways in the airport and everything, is a little more suited for this role, I think. His dad was on the trip. And so he got up and he looked back at his dad and he said, "Dad, what do you think?" And his dad goes, "Go for it." And I was like, yes, I love this guy. This is awesome. You know what I mean? I mean, I would have done it. You know what I mean? But so, and then, you know, and then so Drew, the next thing we know, Drew is off the plane. And the next thing we know, here comes this guy in military clothing on the plane. And where is the only empty seat on this entire plane? Right in the middle of our group, next to Bendy, David Bendewald. And so he sits down next to Bendy, and all of us are just praying for this conversation, for Bendy, for this guy. And they start talking. And, you know, one of the first things he says to Bendy is, "Well, what are you doing? Where are you going?" And Bendy says, "Well, let me tell you." And they start talking. And then Bendy starts sharing the gospel with him. And they're having this conversation. It's a long flight from Detroit or Dallas to Detroit. And we're praying. And this thing is going on. You can see these two people are making a connection. It was an awesome thing to watch. And then they're sitting there and they're talking, you know, back and forth. And this piece of paper slides through from the seat in front of them, that little crack, you know, in the seat. And so, you know, Bendy grabs the paper, you know, and is like, okay. And it's this note from the woman and her husband in front of this conversation. They had been listening to Bendy talking with this guy. And she was talking about how this was so moving to her and so encouraging to hear young people talking about their faith and about their relationship with Christ and about serving in these different. And she wrote this whole note. And in the back of the note, there was this big wad of cash that she had stuck in there. And she and at the end, she said, "I want to remain anonymous." And of course, so he told me and everybody else. Now I'm telling you. So we're not doing great with that. But we're not using her name, though. So, and could you give this money to the soldier so that he can do something? Because the $100 that he had been talking, it was the only $100 that he had that he had given to Drew. And so Bendy's like, leans forward. He's like, "Well, thank you," you know. And he gives this money to the guy that he'd been talking with. And the guy looked down at it and he goes, "No. You take it, and you use it to keep doing the work with orphans that you guys have been doing down in Mexico." And now here for me is this, it's like this Acts 2 reenactment, where we're going, and we don't know what's going to happen, and God is pulling things together. We didn't make that happen, or this whole connection. That was all what God was doing. But people began to have their hearts changed and moved to action. This couple in front of Bendy in this conversation, they were reminded, they were connected, they began to be generous, and it changed them in a way. And then this guy, it was just what God was doing. That's why we've got to go. We've got to do something, start somewhere, because our movement engages us with God. And it tests our faith, and it enables us to see God at work as well as making room for God to transform us. And it may start with making some muffins, doing something small. But my encouragement, my challenge, my urging for you is to go. Let's pray. God, we are humbled again, when we think about how you are orchestrating all the big stuff. You're the one who changes people's hearts, who draws people into a relationship with you. And help us to just live our part. Thank you for using us, for allowing us to be involved with the plan you have to bring people into a relationship with you, to help them grow. And we're thank you for, again, for the fact that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.